Hello again. I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 2nd of July. We're happy to have this guest back again. He wrote a very moving book about a dog in Iraq, and now he has a sequel to that book, From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. The story is about Lieutenant Colonel Jay Kopelman's sequel to his international bestseller about the dog that he adopted in Iraq. Kopelman is now retired from active duty, and he talks about how he and Lava have adapted to life, and it took some time to adapt to life in California. He talks about the emotional and mental damage that some Marines have faced and the emotional and mental damage that he received as a result of being many months in a war zone where it's difficult to tell enemy from friends, and he thinks that it's just going to take time to settle into his old life. He knows, though, that his dog is struggling. They see signs of post-traumatic stress disorder, mood swings, increased sensitivity to loud noise, increased irritability, a tendency to behave aggressively on the part of the dog. So the book looks at Lava's traumatic entrance to the United States and also the difficulties that Jay Kopelman faces as well. He answers the question that was asked so much by so many people, and at the end of the book, why would you even ask the question? Because the book explains it. Why a dog? He was asked this question a lot after his first book was published. How could he put so much time and energy into bringing a puppy back to the States from wartime Iraq? Why the hell not? He responded in his mind, and he talks about how the dog needed him, needed all who were involved in his rescue, and never hesitated to remind him of that. On some level, he says, saving the life of my dog saved me and all those he touched, psychologically and emotionally, and continues to do so. We'll be welcoming phone calls, and our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. And good morning to you. Do I still call you Lieutenant Colonel Jay Kopelman, or what do you want to be called?
Jay.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad you said that. It makes it much easier.
Sure. Thank you. How are you?
I'm
good
fine.
Good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. You had such a traumatic experience with Lava so early on. I just was so tense when I was reading about that. Oof.
Yeah, it was a close call.
It was a very close call, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
It was probably even more so than what I've written about.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, for those people who didn't read the first book, please, Jay, would you remind us of how you became attached, the oil barrel story for Lava, the number of soldiers who were attached to Lava, and how you got him to the United States?
Sure. Real quickly, we were in the Battle of Fallujah in November of 2004. Lava was hiding in a 55-gallon oil drum, and a Marine crawled in there and pulled him out, and against all rules and regulations, the Marines kept him in a house with them in Baghdad. He certainly ingratiated himself in any number of ways, not all real good ways, but they seemed to work given the circumstances. He provided, as you mentioned, the emotional support and comfort that people needed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And We set about bringing him back to the United States, making sure he had a good life as a way to give back for what he had given us.
Mm-hmm.
That journey led him to Camp Fallujah for 2 months and then Baghdad for 2 months with NPR's own Ann Garrels et al. And he ultimately came to live in San Diego with me and then, as time went on, my family.
Yeah. Helped you meet your family.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Good dog, good dog.
Yeah.
But when he first came, it was within just a couple weeks of his arriving. He was hit by a car, and oh my gosh, what you went through. Whew. And what he went through.
Right. You know, he certainly suffered physically, at least for a time. Fortunately, there were no broken bones or major injuries like that, but he did have some very bad wounds, open wounds that needed time to heal. And I'm sure it hurt quite a lot as well. But for me, it was just emotionally, it rendered me emotionally helpless because there was nothing I could do. You know, I couldn't help him. I'm not a veterinarian. And of course, he couldn't understand what I was telling him, that he was going to be okay and everything was fine. So it was very difficult for me to witness this after everything we went through to get him to the States, especially. And of course, it wasn't without the financial ramifications that go along with something like that.
$8,000. Woo! It's a lot of money.
What we do for our dogs.
You're right. I've done it too. Not quite $8,000, but I've done it too. And you were also beating up on yourself because here you went to this great, great lengths to bring this dog back against orders, et cetera, and felt that you were responsible for this horrible accident, you know, which you weren't. I'll tell you that too. I know people haven't. We've all done things. We've all haven't been as careful. And, you know, the dogs get hit by cars. And the woman was driving way too big a car and way too fast a car. So
Right.
Don't you think?
She was. And she was, I'm sure, distracted with a kid in the car, thoughts of getting home to make dinner. Any number of things were contributing factors. But it doesn't lessen within you the sense of responsibility and the way that you beat up on yourself when something like that happens.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what a constant force he was for you, Jay, because as we've heard from so many returning vets from Iraq, that it's just tremendously difficult to carry on with your life. And it was for you as well, wasn't it? Your longtime love, two of you weren't getting along anymore, and you were kind of skittish, and you were angry about things, understandably so. Lava was as well. The two of you had post-traumatic stress, the dog too.
Well, Lava for sure. And, you know, my personal relationship at the time aside, it was important that I made sure he was okay. Mm-hmm. And as time went on, I started looking at Lava, and when the opportunity to write this book came along, I decided as I was going through it that I should probably look at myself as well, and that's when I really came up with the idea of making this book. It's a nice story about Lava, but it's really, when you get into it, the crux of the matter is that we have a lot of young men and women serving multiple combat tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, who are seeing things they should never have to see and experiencing things they should never have to experience.
Yeah.
And that's affecting them. Whether they know it or not, it is. And the purpose that ultimately came from writing this book was to make them aware of that and to let them know that they're not alone, there's help, go and get that help. Because if they don't, they're going to have big, big problems down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to become society's problem.
It already has.
You know, it's not going to get any better. When you think about the numbers who have deployed, and then take that number and multiply it by 30 to 40%, that's the number of people who are likely to have some sort of psychological injury from their tours in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. And it seems to be more from this war for some reason. Why is that? Is it that soldiers are living with much more traumatic brain injuries because of advances in medicine? Is it because of the nature of this war? Or what is it, Jay?
Well, you do have the TBI, the traumatic brain injury, as you mentioned, Kathleen. That's certainly a huge, huge issue right now. And people are living with these horrific wounds from which they would have died in the past. You know, amputations, the TBI, gunshot wounds that in the past somebody might have died from due to infection or just the organ damage. Now medical, you know, the modern medical technology enables them to live longer and full lives, but they still have the emotional and psychological damage that also comes with the physical wound. Then put that together with some of these younger and older guys and gals who maybe don't feel that they should be there for whatever reason. They might not agree with the policies, but they go and do their job anyway and do it to their best of, to the best of their abilities. So now their conscience weighs on them. So there are many, many factors. And there, you know, you, if you see your friend killed, it's very, very difficult emotionally. And it's, you know what, it's no less now, or no more now, really, than it was in other wars. But we're finally recognizing that there could be an issue.
Right. And some of the issues that you were facing that you write about when you came home were as simple or as profound as what people's concerns were in the United States, that you couldn't stand it when people were talking about, you know, what foods they were eating and you didn't even know how to pronounce the names of the foods and what the heck difference did it make, what kind of food you served with what kind of wine.
Right, right. It just seemed to me so inane and mundane. And then to hear about people's children, you know, how wonderful they are. And you know what? Your child isn't so wonderful. I'll tell you who's the wonderful kid. Is that 19-year-old kid who I saw get shot. Or the 20-year-old kid who I saw lose a leg because he volunteered for the Marine Corps to go and defend his country because he thought it was the right thing to do. And you think it's great that your kid got a B in science. I couldn't take it. And, you know, I was... And it was showing. I was becoming very, very intolerant of these things, and it wasn't right, but in my mind, it was.
And what was happening with lava?
Lava, in the meantime, was developing, as you mentioned in your opener, these behavioral traits that were difficult at best to deal with. So you didn't know when or where he might become aggressive or decide to bite somebody even. And it happened on occasion, you know, where he would charge at people with no provocation whatsoever. So it became quite a challenge. And as time has gone on, he unfortunately still exhibits these behaviors. And it's not easy sometimes to calm him down.
And what's causing that, Jay?
It's post-traumatic stress, as diagnosed by his trainer, by his vet, by Stephen R. Lindsay in the book that I refer to in From Baghdad to America, where I list the 8 symptoms of PTSD in dogs, and he's got 5 of the 8, so he's got it.
But you have found a vet, and you've put him on a form of, well, it chills him out a little bit, right, which seems to be effective.
Right. It's a drug that, without creating lethargy in the dog, does help take the edge off. And that's really, it helps. It helps. It's not by any means a panacea for whatever's going on with lava. But it takes the edge off and makes him more manageable, I guess is the word.
Right. He helped you find your wife.
He did.
I like to hear that story. Tell us that love story.
Sure. Very, very quickly, what Lava managed to do was one day at the park where we used to go every evening to so he could play with other dogs, there was a new dog in the park. And the dog had a 7-year-old master who liked to play with all the dogs. And Lava, being very alpha, decided to knock the boy down one day. And I didn't see it happen, but the boy's mother yelled at me, "Your dog just bit my son." And I, of course, was very concerned and upset. And like any good dog owner, I asked her if her child had any diseases I should worry about for my dog. So
right.
She, in spite of myself, she agreed to marry me. So 9 months later, we got married, and now we have a 17-month-old son of our own.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? And how many dogs?
We have 2 dogs and a cat.
2 dogs and a cat. Her dog, your dog, and a cat.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to welcome phone calls for Jay, and we'll take them in just one moment. We're happy to have returning to the air Jay Kopelman. He is... His latest book is From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. He's also author of the best-selling book, From Baghdad with Love. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. Or if you'd like to send an email, that's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I think that he can take some credit as well. For the first time in the history of the U.S. Army, skilled therapy dogs are going to be deployed to Iraq to help relieve combat stress of soldiers who are in the field. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we return. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to phone calls now. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Jay Kobelman, our guest. The book is From Baghdad to America. Jay retired from the Marine Corps in February of 2007 and is also author of the best-selling book, From Baghdad with Love. DJ from Madison is our first caller, Jay. Hi, DJ.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi. I just had a quick, I'll put it as briefly as I can for your guest, since he is a returned military person. In terms of the post-traumatic stress disorder, my question is, when soldiers come back, and your story about your dog is lovely, but I'm actually referring to the soldiers themselves, what happens in terms of, you know, if someone feels that they have these symptoms, once they get diagnosed, what help is available to them when they get back?
Yeah, DJ, thanks for your question. And to all the dog lovers out there, I by no means want to offend your sensibilities in any way, but Lava was really just the vehicle, I think, as DJ's observed, for my opportunity to write about PTSD as it affects veterans. And the answer to the question is that veterans have at their disposal mental health professionals at their base hospitals, or if they are retired or separated from the service, at the VA. But certainly those options are out there. The Department of Veterans Affairs has also established the National Centers for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and they do have a hotline if somebody needs to make an emergency call at all hours of the day or night. One of the things I'm hoping to do with the proceeds from this book is establish a charity as well that will benefit veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress and provide them with anonymous counseling, 24-hour hotline, also that will provide them with help. So there are resources available. One problem is that there is a shortage of mental health professionals right now. You need to lobby your legislators to provide the funds for people who are psychologists with PhDs who don't get the same bonuses for serving and therefore aren't financially incentivated to serve as physicians do. So MDs get bonuses, PhDs do not.
Hmm. So just my last question is, so if a person is indeed suffering these types of mental problems when they return, there is help available to them, and secondly, there's no time limit. You know, I mean, it doesn't expire after a certain period of time. It's ongoing. Is that true?
Yes, it is ongoing. There's no time limit, and of course, it would depend on the severity of a person's injury and illness, you know, psychological injury or illness, as it's being defined now, as to what types of service they can perform in the future and the level of treatment they would receive. There are also organizations, companies doing great work with virtual reality to help treat PTSD, and I do write about that in my book.
Mm-hmm. And you're also doing something yourself. There are proceeds of this book, right, that are going to help others. You're donating portions. You use Lava's name recognition to bring awareness to causes that are important.
Oh, yeah,
you
I
travel the country.
Right.
And you've started a charitable foundation.
Well, I'm working on that, and that's what I want to do is get the Lava Fund up and running in the next year.
Mm-hmm. And what will that do, Jay?
That will provide counseling and money and resources to veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress or any type of combat stress.
Thanks, DJ, very much for the call. Tony is next from Oshkosh. Hi, Tony.
Hi, how are you, Kathy?
Fine, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Real quick, thank you very much for having me on, and your guest is fascinating. This is kind of interesting for all of you and your callers. Back in the 40s, the first three original Lassie movies dealt with this kind of thing. We always think of Lassie and Timmy saving somebody from a well. Well, the movie, I believe, you can get it on Sony Pictures Classics, is Courage of Lassie. It has Liz Taylor in it. It was the last of Lassie film she was in. It deals, it's the movie will start out like a Walt Disney movie, squirrels, little deer, the whole bit. It then turns to a very dark side. Lassie is forced into service. Very interesting, the dog service of World War II. She goes to the Aleutians to fight with a group of soldiers against the Japanese. On her way back, we find out she goes through this combat fatigue, and it's very interesting because the end of the film stresses, how are we going to deal with our, you know, sons, daughters, fathers coming back from the Pacific, from Europe, and the things that they have seen, how are we going to help them? They will come back changed.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I thought it was a very fascinating movie because we always consider Lassie, you know, in a whole different light. But and the second movie of Lassie dealt with Europe and the Canadian Air Force. Very, very interesting. But I believe Courage of Lassie, very touching, but it deals exactly what we're talking with here. How are we going to handle, you know, all these troops, men and women coming back, that have seen things we can't even imagine.
Right, exactly. Jay?
Well, I just want to qualify right now. I've never seen those movies. I don't want Sony Pictures coming after me for stealing any ideas when I came to writing this book. I didn't even know they existed. But, you know, back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, people didn't talk about these things. You know, it was kind of whispered about. And while it was recognized, it wasn't acknowledged readily. So a lot of World War II veterans, Korea, Vietnam, these guys never went and got help for their issues, and now there's the poor bastard I see standing on a street corner down near the VA hospital here in San Diego. And it's heartbreaking, you know, because now there is a recognition and an acceptance of these issues, but these guys don't know how to go and get the help. They don't know what to do.
Thank you very much for your call. It would be interesting to see those films, wouldn't it?
It would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I grew up watching Lassie, what, Sunday nights or something as a kid.
Right, right. A whole different Lassie. There's a portion of the book which I find really interesting that I think you'd have to credit yourself some for this. For the first time in history of the U.S. Army, there are skilled therapy dogs being deployed to Iraq to help relieve stress of soldiers in the field. How are they being used?
You know, I would love to take credit for a lot of things. I don't think I can take credit for that. I don't know. Maybe they did hear about Lov and thought it was great that what he did for people, and they thought it's a great idea. But they are taking these dogs to various bases around Iraq. I think there are two of them right now, two dogs that have gone over, and they are taking them to visit the men and women in uniform serving in Iraq and just giving them an opportunity to wander around the bases to let these people pet a dog and just feel the comfort and the relaxation and the letting down of your guard instantaneously that can bring.
Right. There should be a lot of dogs doing that, don't you think?
Well, there should be more, and hopefully there will be as the dogs are trained for it. I mean, you've got to desensitize the dogs to loud noises and to the types of things that they would see and hear on a base and possibly, you know, incoming mortar and rockets. It takes a while, I would think, to get a dog into a position where he or she's able to do that.
And what about using them when the soldiers come home?
Yeah, there are lots of therapy dogs that go to hospitals, VA hospitals, The Naval Hospital here in San Diego, Balboa Naval Hospital, I've seen therapy dogs in there when I've gone to visit some of my Marines, and they use them all the time. Yeah, it's a regular thing here.
Mm-hmm. Marie is next from Burlington, Jay. Hi, Marie. Hi, Marie. Got to turn that radio down, please. We'll go back to you, Marie, if you could just turn your radio down. Thank you. Rob from Radisson. Hi.
Hello, Kathleen and Jay. And Jay, thank you for your service, sir.
Thanks for acknowledging it, Rob.
But you mentioned the mundane things that people in this country think are important. My question, does it seem to you that too many Americans are too distracted with other things and not the war, or rather wars, of the Bush administration, and does this seem natural or programmed through mostly TV?
Are you asking if I think people are too distracted by other things to pay attention to the war, or are you asking if they're...
Yeah, like American Idol or stuff like that, reality shows.
You know, I think that this, some distraction is a good thing, obviously. We can't stay focused all the time on war or on, all the bad things in the world. And people need that distraction. But I think that for the most part, people who are thoughtful citizens and care about this country do pay attention to that. And I think that's why we see the debate that we do in our politics nowadays. Perhaps what I think we should even focus on more in this coming election year is the state of our country and what's happening here at home. Certainly what's going on overseas has not lessened in significance or importance, but I think we need to look at what's happening here too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. Can you talk a little bit about, and I can't remember what part of the book it's in, where you talk about some of the latest treatment for post-traumatic stress disorder, where you're actually reliving some of the most horrendous experiences in your life?
Yeah, that's what I mentioned earlier, using virtual reality to help treat post-traumatic stress. And they're doing this not just with combat veterans, but anybody who has suffered post-traumatic stress from an event somewhere in their lives. And that can happen in any number of ways. And, you could be in a bad car accident and then be afraid to ever be a passenger in a car again. Similarly, you might have been in a Humvee in Iraq that was hit by a roadside bomb, by an IED, and you can't get in your car again once you get back home. That's post-traumatic stress.
Mm-hmm.
So they put the person back in the situation using virtual reality, and the scenarios are great. The software that's been developed for this is just really incredible. Recreates some of the towns in Iraq and puts the veteran right back in the situation, but they do it in a controlled manner so they can monitor what's going on with that person based on heart rate, body temperatures, perspiration, any number of ways to monitor the person and make sure that when the time comes, if they have to, they can bring them back down to a stable level of relaxation where they're not right in the moment, and then talk them back into it.
Hmm. And have you gone through that?
I have not. I've seen it. They didn't have, the day I went to observe and try it out, they didn't have all the headsets, the VR headsets that you need to do that. They were being used elsewhere. But I've seen the software, at least on the computers, and it's great. You know, it works, I would think, very well for people who need it.
Here's an email. Mary from Milwaukee, thank you for sharing your story. My question is what the 8 symptoms to a dog for PTSD are. I have a dog with separation anxiety, which I've been told is likely a long-term or lifetime issue, and I wonder if there is a similarity. Got this dog, Varg, when he was 6. He's now 11 with just a little improvement. Best wishes to you and Lava.
Thanks, Mary. And in answer to your question, the 8 symptoms are listed in my book. I think, Kathleen, you might have you read a few of them at the opening of this show. And the thing that Lava's vet has given him is a drug called Reconcile, which is, it says right on the bottle, it's clearly for separation anxiety. So you may want to check with your vet about the use of Reconcile to help with your dog's separation anxiety. As I said, it doesn't knock your dog out in any way, shape, or form, but it does help take the edge off.
Mm-hmm. And is it something that Lava will always live with, do you think?
I think it is.
Yeah.
Especially his sensitivity to noises.
Mm.
And, you know, I struggle with it all the time about what is the right thing to do with him. You know, I have a friend in New Hampshire who's been out here for months at a time. He knows Lava. He's got, you know, an enormous house, several times the size of ours, with 3 acres and a big German Shepherd, and he's told me that if it ever gets so bad, he'd be willing to have Lava come there and where it's isolated, there aren't the noises that we have living here in San Diego, and it may be better for Lava. I don't know. That's a very difficult decision for me and
sure.
Something that I would have difficulty reconciling, you know, if I ever had to make that decision. So far, he's staying with us, but if it's the best thing for him, that's, you know, I would have to consider it.
Mm-hmm. Let's try Marie again from Burlington. Hi, Marie.
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry about before. I couldn't hear.
Okay.
I just want to, I haven't read the book, but I will buy it and make sure that you make some money.
Oh, thank you.
Go to all these worthy cause. And I just think it's also important to go around the country at this time to just say no more wars. We just don't need more of this. And that would be a good way to help some more. And the other comment I had, there is a book of meditation by someone called Michael Lipson, which is very helpful for these warriors coming back to this country. It helps them out to strengthen themselves. And that's all I have to say. Thank you again.
Thank you, Marie.
Thanks, Marie.
Our number is 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Or you're very welcome to send an email if you'd like to do that. That's talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. Our guest this hour is the author of From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. Jay Kopelman is our guest, Lieutenant Colonel, now retired Jay Kopelman. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Jay Kopelman is our guest. His book, the latest book, is From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. He's also author of the bestseller, From Baghdad with Love. 800-486-8655, our number, 414-227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee. Another email, this one from Matt J. I want to thank your guest for his courage in speaking out about this important subject. I've been diagnosed with PTSD stemming from a non-military incident, and I wonder what the eventual goal for treatment of PTSD is. Certainly, we don't want to forget these traumatic incidents that shape who we are, but we do need to move past the traumatic aspects. So what's the 5, 10, 20-year prognosis for people who do seek and receive treatment?
Wow, that's a great question, and I think Matt raises a really relevant point, and I think he's got it, is that you don't want to forget about the incident completely, whatever has caused the post-traumatic stress, because it does make you who you are. But at the same token, you do have to be able to move on and live a quote-unquote normal, fulfilled life. And by gaining treatment is really the only way that's ever going to happen for people. As far as a prognosis. I don't think there is one for everybody. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of thing. It's individual, and each person should realize that and then seek the appropriate treatment for their situation.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that there's been enough progress, enough resources put into this whole field for returning vets to make good progress, Jay, or not?
I think there has, and I think that advances are being made continually. I think it's something that's going to continue to be improved upon so that vets receive the best treatment available. I spoke last week at a cyber therapy conference here in San Diego. There were a number of military physicians, psychiatrists present at that conference, and so from what I gained by speaking to them, I could see their heads nodding in agreement with many of the things I was saying. It's evident to me that advances are being made and the treatment will continue.
Right. When you talk in the book, and it's hard to read those passages over the air, nor do I particularly want to, they're probably best read, but it's no wonder, considering what you've seen and what a lot of vets have seen, just the absolute horrors of what can happen in life, it's no wonder that it would affect you deeply and always would. We shouldn't have to see any of that.
Right. If you're at all in any way a thoughtful person, you know, if you don't just take things that you see and hear for granted, if you have a mind, then that's true. You will be affected, and unfortunately, people do have to see and hear things that they shouldn't.
Right. Let's go to Yvonne from Brown Deer. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I'm a victim of PTSD. I was never in a war. And the reason I'm calling is that we need to understand that this is a basic problem with the human system. Shocks, scaring, those sorts of things can have an extreme effect on a youngster's nervous system and sets you up for developing the post-traumatic stress disorder. You probably remember Kathleen tossing your baby up in the air or tickling and that sort of thing. Actually, if a child is really nervous, that is not a fun thing for them. The other things that you might notice is that if a child jumps or reacts to a loud noise, their system has already been sensitized. That's called the startle effect, and I think your guest knows what I'm talking about there. And I was teased all through high school. They just loved to come up behind me and whistle in my ear or something like that because I'd jump a foot off the air, off the floor. So it's a social thing that unfortunately has become a dramatic, terrible condition.
Jay. Are you there, Jay? Hello? I think we lost the phone line for some reason. I don't know how that happened. We thank you very much, though, for your call, Yvonne, and welcome more of your phone calls as well. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. And if you want to send an email, we've had a lot of emails this morning. That address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour has written a second book. This one is From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. Jay Kopelman retired from the Marine Corps in February of 2007, and he's also author of the best-selling book From Baghdad with Love. It's a touching story of Lava and what happened to Lava when he came back to the United States, and it also is about the dogs dealing with post-traumatic stress and with Jay dealing with post-traumatic stress and going through the process of therapy and the dog going through therapy and different trainers as well. It's about war and about the horrors of war and how you can overcome seeing those if you ever can in any huge way. So that's what we are talking about this hour. And Jay is back with us but can only stay for a few more minutes. Okay. Let's go to an email. Joe from Madison, regarding your story about the anger you felt toward people bragging about their children, my wife just returned from a tour in Iraq. I've had a tough time accepting people who have no personal stake in the war but hold on to this bring them on attitude promoted by the current administration. My thought is these people should all be forced to go to war and see it for the ugly thing it really is. I think this might change an attitude. How do you deal with your resentment of these ignorant people?
You know what? I guess that it's not so much for me a resentment of people who don't have experience in war because, you know, it's, you can't blame people who haven't been. You know, it's just time and place. It's circumstances that either put you there or not. And so I think that pretty much most of us who serve, and I'm sure that Joe's wife feels the same way, while she may be angry or he may be angry with the current administration's policies and actions, to say that it's resentment, I don't know if that's the correct word. I certainly look at it, and I think that it's almost farcical. You know, we in the military, I think, often look at the administration and say, you know, nobody who's making these decisions has ever served. The one guy with any real service, they fired a long time ago, and that was Colin Powell. So it's kind of interesting to hear arguments on both sides of it and to look at the current state of our national, our federal government, which isn't a pretty picture, by the way, as most people are aware. And you kind of hope that the people who come along are smarter, are better, make better decisions, and don't try to tell the military how to run a war. To me, that's the thing that's aggravating, is when the civilians who've never been there try to tell us what to do.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay. I know you have somewhere to go at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kathleen. I do appreciate being on your show again today. It's always nice talking with you.
Thanks, and you as well. Jay Kopelman, who had to leave. I was not aware he had to leave, so we are here with about 8 minutes left. And I would assume that some of you listening are vets and have been experiencing post-traumatic stress, or you can talk about the importance of dogs. We all know about many of us know about the importance of dogs when we're down, and know that dogs can suffer their own emotional problems and that there is treatment for them. This book is From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava, the story of Lava being rescued from Iraq, which is an amazing story, was found in Jay's first book, From Baghdad with Love. So join us in the last few minutes, will you please, to talk perhaps about your experience with post-traumatic stress. The two signature injuries from Iraq, as he writes, are post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury. And the book looks at Lava and what a comfort Lava has been to Jay, how Lava was almost killed by a car when Lava came to the United States. And it looks at the importance of skilled therapy dogs, how a couple more have been deployed to Iraq to help relieve combat stress of soldiers in the field, and of course are being used when soldiers come back. And we welcome your phone calls so you can move us along to the end of the hour. Or I could read from the book, but I thought maybe you'd have some calls you'd like to make. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414 414- 417-2050, 414-227-2050. And if you'd like to send some emails that we can read in the last few minutes, the email address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. We have an email from CJ saying another place to find some peace for returning vets with post-traumatic stress disorder is the Native American powwow. I attended one with returning Vietnam vets, and it was very moving. The Ho-Chunks have rituals for returning warriors to recognize their service. We should also tell you that this book just been published, and the first one became a bestseller, has a picture of lava on the front and is published by Skyhorse Publishing Company out of New York. John Anderson is taking some of your phone calls, and we'll get you on the air as we talk more about post-traumatic stress disorder, service in Iraq, the importance of dogs to be used as therapy, and also the symptoms that dogs can get. So this book is as much about Lava's post-traumatic stress disorder as it is about the authors, Jay Kopelman. 800-486-8655 or 414-227-2050 in Milwaukee. And let's go to Michelle next. Hi, Michelle.
Yes, hello.
Hi, thanks for calling.
Giving a call. I am also a PTSD survivor, I guess you would say, and I have a wonderful yellow lab who I've had. She's going to be 7, and she's helped me so much throughout a lot of things. A lot of the things that I struggle with on a daily basis, she's just always there for me, and I'm just looking so forward to reading this book, and thank you very much for having a show on this topic.
Yeah, and how does your dog help you?
I struggle a lot with anxiety and depression, and then my anxious modes, she's there to calm me. My depressive mode, she knows. I think animals really sense and sense what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. And she's just always there kind of reading my body chemistry and what's going on. And just there like, I'm here by you. It's okay. You're going to be all right.
Yeah. She knows how to cuddle, huh?
Yes, very much. So she's very energetic but yet she just has that very calming, loving aspect to her as well. So
yeah, they're treasures sometimes.
They are. Mm-hmm. They are. They're wonderful. So
thanks again, Michelle,
for the show.
Thank you.
Yep.
There are also these wonderful, I have one of these. Do you have one of these in it? It's for my particular breed of dog, and he's not an angel, but we've got this calendar of little quotes from about dogs, you know, that famous poets have said about dogs. And Jay put some of that in his book as well. This one's nice. We long for an affection altogether ignorant of our faults. Heaven has accorded this to us in the uncritical canine attachment. George Eliot wrote that. The book, again, that we've been talking about, and our guest had to leave a few minutes early, is From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. And we're just welcoming some of your calls and a few of your emails to round up the hour because Jay had to leave to talk about how dogs have filled that place in your heart, particularly if you're suffering from post-traumatic stress or if you just want to talk about how your dogs have helped you through different times of your life. Or if you're a vet, we still have a couple minutes left. If you're a vet suffering from post-traumatic stress, you can also call in and talk about the help that you have been able to receive and where you found that and whether or not there should be more dogs in places like Iraq to ease the stress of combat. 800-486-8655 is the number, 414-227-2050. For those of you who are in the Milwaukee area, we have time for maybe one more phone call. And just to give you a little bit of more information about the book, again, it's From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. The first book, we had Jay on about a year ago. He retired from the Marine Corps. He is the author of the best-selling book, From Baghdad with Love, and it's the story of how Lava was there was an order that you really couldn't have dogs live with you in Iraq or to take them home. So the process of getting him out of Iraq, and this is the story of what happened once Lava came to the United States into California to live with Jay and how life was very difficult. We have time for one more call, and maybe only now about 20 seconds because the lines were pretty empty. Priscilla from Salem, just quickly. Hi, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, this won't take long. The book that I want to mention is a book about a dog during wartime, a true story. It's called Yorkie Doodle Dandy, written several years ago.
Huh.
It's a very delightful book.
Yorkie Doodle Dandy.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And do you know the author?
No, I don't.
All right. Great. Thanks, Priscilla.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And thanks for listening and for calling and helping me out through the last few minutes of this program, everybody. Thanks to Carmen Jackson for producing the hour. Thanks to John Anderson for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. The book, again, is From Baghdad to America, Life Lessons from a Dog Named Lava. There are many more hours of interesting conversation ahead on the Ideas Network, so please stay tuned for those, and we'll be with you again tomorrow, as we are, from 9 until 11. A minute before 11, you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.